Hebrews 13. What it says here is, now the God of peace, in other words, God wants peace on earth, which means peace with Him, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. May that God, the God of peace, make you perfect, say perfect, in every good work to do His will. Working in you, He does the working, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. So he does the work. Through faith, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And so, are Christians to do good works? Yes. There it is. Make you perfect. Perfect. Say perfect. So perfect means you didn't do it. If it was not perfect, if it was just you did it, then it wouldn't be perfect. So make you perfect. Only God can do that. And He works that in you. So you don't have to do it. You do it by faith. So Jesus then wanted you to be perfect, and knowing that you can't do that, it's impossible. Nobody's perfect but God. Nobody's perfect but God. Knowing that, He's good. And there's nobody else that's good. Just only God. So since that's true, if you can't even do good, you can't be perfect in good. So that kind of settles that. So since you can do nothing apart from Me, Jesus says, then it all had to be done by Jesus. He is your righteousness. He actually perfectly fulfilled everything you owed to God. If you owed it to God, if you had a law that was over you that said pay up, you can't do it. It doesn't matter. You can't squeeze blood out of a turnip. You can't. You just can't. So whatever God demands, He supplies. Whatever God demands, He supplies. And that's built, as you know, on the scripture in Genesis 22:8. Genesis 22:8. You want to look that up. It's powerful. Where He says to His son, Isaac, Abraham says to his son, Isaac, my son, God Himself will prepare the lamb for a burnt offering. Whatever you owe, He'll pay for that, so I don't need to kill you. I don't need to sacrifice you. I don't need to do anything, because if God does it, it's perfect. And I don't need to prove that I can do anything, because I'm not. So God used Abraham to prove that you were useless. That should be impressive to you, because you're not able to do anything good. I have to define it. Be ye perfect as God is perfect. So there's the standard. You don't just get to make up what's perfect. Now let me say something else. The whole world is seeking to be perfect without God. I'm just going to say that. I mean the whole world. I mean everybody that's ever been born. They want to improve themselves. They want to realize themselves. They want to find out who they are and then make an improvement. They want to value add themselves. Impossible, 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 impossible. So you really can't improve yourself if you're not improvable. And so if you get married, I don't know, wouldn't recommend it, but if you do get married, I mean, I recommend it because I like it. It's wonderful. But you'll have troubles if you think you're good. You'll have troubles if you think you're good. You'll have troubles. Because the Bible totally, totally, 100% is against you. Because God's standard is different than yours. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. And so his idea of perfect means be like him. Be like Jesus. Be Christ-like, spirit, soul, and body. 4, 5, and 6. There they are. It's right there. That's the perfect person, right there. Only you didn't do it. You never did anything that God wanted you to do. And you cannot. You not shouldn't. You can't. It's not that you shouldn't. You can't even do it. And the Jews proved that. Everything they did was worthless. So they never got a paid wage for anything they did because they never did anything. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's not the way we would define the word perfect. We would define it that everybody's good. That's completely against God's word. You're not good. Yep. Only God is good. Oh, maybe I didn't say that. Only God is good. I mean, only sounds like only, but maybe it's not only. Maybe it's also you. But it sounds like only. Doesn't God sound like when he says the word only, he means only? Doesn't it sound like that? I mean, it sounds like that. If grammar is correct, then only sounds like only. And that doesn't include you, unless you're a pastor. That's the only exception I can think of. Danny, you're okay. You're okay. Because you're a pastor. So it's okay. The two of us. And David. You're part of that too. So you're only. Because you're a pastor. No. Only means only. Even Danny isn't perfect. And David isn't perfect. I'm not perfect. I hate to say that. But I'm not. But nobody is. And God never wanted anyone to be. So why did he make a law? To prove that we're not perfect. That's funny. That's funny. Isn't that funny? Doesn't God have a sense of humor? He has the Jewish people. Remember, he said, I'll give you a law. This is my law. Now, I'm giving you out my law, which is basically say, be like Jesus. But whatever it says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me, and so on. All those laws are just simply be like me. Be perfect like me. And so Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit is, so they're perfect. But other than that, Norman, you can't work at this. The Catholics say you can. No, they're liars. No, they're deceivers. They tricked you. Because none of the Catholics are perfect. And none of the Jews are perfect. Anything under the law is not perfect. So if you're under law, you can't keep it. So since God wanted you to be perfect, the only way he can do it is to do it for you. And then in you. And then through you. Right? Don't you think that's funny? Or at least weird. That's weird of God to make a rule that no one could do. He made it for all mankind. Now, do the best you can. Now, that's something we could do. Best you can, just make up anything and say, it's the best I can do. Under the circumstances, that's the best I can do. Well, you're not under circumstances. You're under God. And he says, I want every one of my people that I create, people, you know, like us. I want them to be stewards, servants. I want them to be creatures that obey everything I say. That's funny. That is funny. Since nobody can do it, how can they do it? since nobody can do it? Since only God is good, how can he make people that are good when he's... How can he do it? Oh, maybe it's a promise then. Maybe what he said to his son, Abraham said to his son, my son, God himself will provide for himself. That's middle voice in Hebrew. Amen. It's reflexive back on the nominative case. God himself will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. That's a funny way of saying it. It's not passive like he'll do it for you. He actually does it as you, not just for you. He lives your life for you before you were even created. Because Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. Isn't God weird? He's strange. Don't ever teach this to anybody because they won't understand what you're saying. Don't you dare, April, don't you dare teach this to anybody you know. Because it won't work. It's not going to work because people think you're crazy. But I'm just telling you, I'm not interested in anybody believing what I say. I'm interested only in telling you what Christianity says. I'm just going to tell you what the Bible says. That my job is not to convince anybody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. And so if you hear what I say, and I know very few of you have, because you hear it and you think, yeah, I got to do something. I know that. I mean, everybody's thinking that. I don't care how you teach it. I can stand on my head. It won't make any difference. Because people will turn it into a do. Yes, it's done, but not by you. It's done by God. For you, in you, through you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Since he made people, we're not robots. We have a will of our own. We have a mind of our own. We have emotions of our own. We make decisions of our own. He shouldn't have given us liberty. He should not have equipped us. He says he does it all. He should have just made a relationship with us or something right off the bat. But he gave us liberty so we could be independent of him. And that was our first declaration of independence. I will not depend on God. As a matter of fact, I'll make my own little heaven without God. That's what Nimrod did. That's what Nimrod did. But Martin Luther discovered this 500 years ago in two or three days. In other words, a few days. By the 31st, which is coming up soon, he did that. He just invented that. He imposed that on the scriptures. Why? Because the grammar of scripture allowed it. The grammar of scripture allowed him to say, justitia Dei, the justice of God in Latin. Justitia, justice of God. Dei, God. Justitia Dei. It could be interpreted in two different ways. It could mean do penance, or it could mean justification by faith alone. Well, that's a big difference between me doing something and God doing everything. There's a difference between those two. God doing everything is different than me doing something. Doesn't that make sense? So, Linda, you can't do the will of God unless you do nothing. So if you're good for nothing, you're all right. So everyone here is good for nothing. Because you can't do anything God asked you to do, because only God can do what God asked you to do, because God is perfect. And so he has to do something perfect, and you're not perfect, so you can't do it. Isn't that good news? I mean, to me, that's good news, because since I can't do it, I don't need to do it. I don't even need to start. I don't even need to start out trying my best. There's no point in even running the race. Why even get at the starting block since you can't finish? There's no point. You just fall down there. You just fall down at the starting block. Well, That's it. Because I can't do it. I can't win the race. So how can God say win the race when you can't do it? Jesus, you have to be in relationship to Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. He has to be your whole life. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none on earth that I desire beside thee. Thee, 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 thee. So that thee is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I don't have anything going for me except thee. So you have to be in a relationship with thee. Thou shalt be in a relationship with thee. Don't you love my preaching? It's so awesome. It's so awesome. I mean, it doesn't take a, you know, nuclear physicist to figure this out. It just follows the grammar. You just follow the grammar. It says God does everything. He created the world. He now redeems the world. He now perfects you. He now, you know, cleanses you. He does everything. So let him do it. Because he's able. How many know God is able to do anything? I mean, he can create the world out of nothing. Nihil. Nothing. Zero. He can create the world. Just speak it into being. There it is. That's how he created me. Just talk me into it. You know, you. And he knows everything. He's so smart. He knows everything. He knows everything everyone is going to do and think and say and feel and want. Even before we do it. He knows we'll rebel against him. He knows we're going to rebel. He knows we're going to rebel. He knew Nimrod before Nimrod was even born. That guy is going to rebel against me. He's going to try to build a tower and do it without me. Because I flooded the world, and he didn't like that. So he said, let's build us a tower. We don't need God on this. We'll just do it on our own. That was a rebel. He was a rebel. Do you know that Nimr, N-M-R, is actually the word for rebel? Or it's actually the word for Merod. The last part of his name is the rebel. But the first part of the name is an adjective that says the untamable, the wild, the rebellious leopard. So Nimr, Merod, Nimrod. This is two words elided together. They're just made into one. And the Bible does that. The Bible mixes up words like that. Have you ever noticed that about the Bible? Got these long words. And they're just two or three or four words all clumped together. And so God has written all this for your benefit. So how can you do good works when you can't do them? How can you do good works because you can't do them? Now, you should know what I said. You should know the answer to that. How can you do something you can't do? How can you do it? Right. In Jesus. Christ in you. The hope of glory. So you can do it if you have Jesus. What if you fake it? It won't work. It won't work. You might as well just be like Nimrod, say, we're going to build it without you, God. We'll perfect man without you. Next time there's no flood thing on us. Well, God said, you know, I'm not going to flood the world again. How many know God's not going to flood the world again? So he's not going to. So all this ice age and, you know, warming and all that nonsense. God's not going to do it that way. He's going to do it by fire. You can clean everything by fire. So water, that's out. Out of water. No. You can't do it that way. You have to do it this time, fire. And fire burns up everything that's burnable. Did you ever notice that about fire? It won't burn things that aren't burnable. That's funny. And so I'll just say this. You are not burnable. Hallelujah. Did you know that? You're not burnable. You're made of asbestos. No, you're just not burnable. Why? Because God can't burn you. Why? Because you have faith in Jesus. Jesus is your unburnable part. Amen. Jesus loving you makes you unburnable. So whatever's shakable is shakable, but you're not shakable or burnable or anythingable. You're just you. And so you can't perish. You'll never perish. You will live forever and ever and ever and ever, world without end. I mean, that's hard for me to conceive. Amen. But it's equally hard for me to conceive that God says you have no beginning. Of course I have a beginning. Well, not if you're married to Jesus, then the two become one. Also, no, I have no beginning and no ending. I'm just like Melchizedek. That's funny. Because he was a righteous king. He was not just a king, but he was a righteous king. We never had any like that. But Melchizedek was like that. No beginning, no ending. How did he do it? By faith. By faith. The old standard. Now, Martin Luther discovered that being a Roman Catholic because the Roman Catholics were just like Jews. They believed that man is perfectible. He has free will and he can choose it. So Luther wrote a book 500 years ago. He wrote a book that said, bondage of the will. You're bound. You can't do it. You don't have any choice. Let's say a man was born who said, I'm going to be perfect. From what I just said, that is imperfect. That's not possible. So no man could ever say, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be perfect, just like God. You can't. You can't. So that's one of my good news things, is God doesn't want me to do what he wants me to do. He wants to do it for me. Amen. And then in me. And then through me. Isn't that amazing? Do you not think that's amazing? Good. Okay, Latrice, you get it. Yeah.
After 40 years.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're getting it. You're getting it. I love that. Yeah. So since you can't be good, and you have to be perfect like God's perfect, you have to be holy like God's holy, you have to be, you know, blah, 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 blah. When he's the standard, we're out. So unless he does it with us, for us, in us, you know, it's not going to be done. But what if that just God can do anything he wants to do? What if he just says, I want to do it that way? I'd like everyone to know Jesus, everyone in the world. Now, how many know Jesus is not all that popular? Jesus is not popular throughout the world. They make up their own gods. And they always make gods that fit themselves. I don't know. I don't know why they do that. They always make gods that make you perfectible, improvable, better than you are. Hypocrites. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite is to be what you're not. That's a hypocrite. So you are what you're not. I will be a good person. How many here were raised that way? I mean, your mother raised you that way. Your father raised you that way. I mean, they just raised you. Behave. Do what I say. What if that's not God? What if God never did that? What if he wrote the law for Jesus to fulfill for you? On your behalf. In your stead. What if that's the purpose of Jesus coming down to earth? Is you go down there and do what they can't do. And then say, I'm doing it for everybody. You just go down there and do that. Oh, by the way, they'll kill you. People will kill you. Because people would rather be slaves than free. Because you're only free to do what's good, what's right, what's true. But since you can't do it, you'd have to have Jesus as your partner, right? You'd have to be married to Jesus. Now, I'm sure that what I just all said, all of it, is incomprehensible to any normal person, because a normal person thinks, well, at least fake it. At least try your best to be a good wife, even though you're not. I mean, just try to be a good husband. I don't know if husbands even would fall for that. husbands are easily tempted and readily.
What did I do?
Have to get this on. So, you know, husbands are worthless. I mean, they're worthless. They are. Has anybody ever married? Now, don't raise your hand. But has anyone here ever married a worthless person? That would be a husband. Are you on your third one or fourth or fifth? People are no good. God says they're no good, so they're no good. But yet he made us. He made us perfectly because he's perfect. So he made us perfectly. But yet we can only do as far as reason will allow us to go and conscience will allow us to go. So if they're inadequate to get you to heaven, you're in trouble. What if reason and conscience tells you that's wrong, that's right? So we at least know what's wrong and right. But conscience is not that accurate. It can't tell you whether there's 50 gods or 5,000 gods or one God. They just can't tell you that. So nature can't help you there. So they don't really know anything about anything. As a matter of fact, everything that man can knoweth tells you nothing about origin, destiny, or purpose. Nothing. 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 So, why am I here? Who am I? Who am I? Alice in Wonderland. Who are you? I don't know. So, that little caterpillar thing or the Cheshire cat or somebody's asking that question. Who am I? And so it's just Wonderland. You can just make it up. Where rabbits speak and go down rabbit holes. Do you see that? It was kind of like a trick. It's kind of like something interesting for kids. And so really, real life stinks when you think about it. Because if I'm not good and I can't be good, apart from Jesus, then the only way I could be good is with Jesus. So that no one else is going to make it. The Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Jews, Catholics, they're not going to make it. Not if they follow it. Now, if they're mafia, maybe they'll make it because they're no good. They'd probably like this message. If I had all mafia people here, they would love this message. Because they go, not so good. I just killed 3 people last night. That was not good. So they know they're no good. So I think they would have bitter ears than we have. Because they already know by living a few years in life stinks. It's no good. And not only that, there's many mafias. There's one in Dallas. I don't think there's one in Fort Worth, is there? Do we have one? We do? And not only that, there's many mafias in each city. There's Irish mafia, Italian mafia, all kinds of them. So you really don't know because they're lawless people. I mean, they just break the laws all the time. That's if you yourself be yourself, they're themselves. If they want something, they just go and take it. They don't ask permission. Mother, may I? They don't ask that. They just do it. And then make big contribution to the church they're part of. And it's okay. They're excused. They're tolerated. Because you did make a big contribution. That's a good work. That's a good work. How many know good works are not necessarily God's definition of good? So God wants you to be perfect, but only he can make you perfect. So he created you without the capacity to be what he wanted you to do apart from him. But you could do it if you were in him. That is, if Jesus Christ was sent down here to say, will you marry me? Will you marry me? That's what Jesus did. He came down to say, will you marry me? Linda asked you that question. Will you marry me? And you can say yes or no. So you have that freedom. You have that freedom because that's a promise. Will you marry me is not a command. You have to marry me. No, he didn't say that. He said, will you? So that's a promise. God always operates by promise. Even if it's in the form of a law, it's a promise. Amen. You shall not commit adultery. That sounds like a law, but what if it's a promise? You shall not commit adultery. That's a promise. You don't have to worry about that because you're not going to commit adultery. Wow, wow. That'd be a promise, right? So he has said that through Jesus Christ because he's perfect. And if he links up with you and he does it, you're okay. All you have to do is believe. That's what Luther discovered. He was reading that Justitia Dei thing and he realized, what is justice? Should justice give you the full extent of the law or just throw the book at you? Or should it be lenient and tolerant and forgiving and kind? That's what he wanted to know. So if it's the latter, then it's by faith. You believe promises, you don't believe laws. You don't believe laws. Laws are obey. You obey laws, but you believe promises. So our whole faith in this church, can't speak for others. It's not just words with me. Our whole faith is built on the fact that you're no good apart from Jesus. You just can't be the real you he created you to be apart from Jesus. So does God have a right to introduce that later through a revelation rather than just give that to you as part of your natural equipment? Does he have a right to give something that mind can't understand, comprehend? Does he have a right to do that? To say, you're going to live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth, and that's present, active, indicative. Most real part of grammar. Present, active, indicative. What's that mean? Instead of command, instead of making a command, instead of making, something you had to do, what if it was just a promise? I will. That's a promise. I will bake you a cake. I will take you to the zoo. Kids like those things. I will give you some ice cream right now. You want vanilla or strawberry? So that the promises are great. How many know that promises, if God makes them, always come to pass? God has never made a promise that he hasn't finished. Now, some of them are not finished yet, like coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He hasn't finished that promise. He has not finished that promise. When he comes back, no one has ever seen him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, we do it, but we do it by faith. So I believe Jesus is going to come back. I believe the promise. So it's a matter of belief. But when he comes back, I don't need belief because I see him. I see him with my own eyes, spiritual eyes. Well, not these eyes, but spiritual eyes. Because I'll be a new creation, born of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit. I'll be able to see him with my spiritual eyes. Because if God is Spirit, I need to be Spirit. That's why you receive the Holy Spirit. Isn't that funny? People that receive the Holy Spirit are weird. Most evangelicals don't believe in that. Most of them, they don't believe. Just read the Bible. But if you really want to receive the Holy Spirit, now it's different than you. It goes against your moral character. It goes against your trying to be good stuff. It goes against religion. But not ours, because ours is by faith. It's amazing. So faith is believing a promise that God made as though it were true, even though I don't see it. Amen. So you could believe in order to see. That's weird. I can believe in order to see. But when you see it, you don't need the belief. Because when I see him as he is, it doth not yet appear what he shall be. But when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is. Not only Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, just past, but also King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with deliverance for the righteous and vengeance for the wicked. Isn't that funny how God sorts it out that way? He's a true judge. Jesus is going to judge the world with equity, equal to the way he originally created you to be. That is, one of his stewards, one of his creatures, one of his is the people that he made to have friendship with him. How can I be friendly with God since I can't do anything? You can't. You can't. You can't be friendly with God unless you could do something, but you can't do anything. Now, you could choose ice cream over spinach, but that's not free will, or is it? That's the way the Bible uses free will. Yeah, you can marry so-and-so or so-and-so, so you get free will. So that is free will. But when it comes to God, you can't have free will toward God. You can have it for anything else, but not toward God. Only God can do what God can do. Only God can do what God can do. So if God sets it up so that naturally you can't love God with all your heart and soul and strength, but he could reveal that to you by a promise and say, I'll just give you that. I'll just give it to you. You don't deserve it, but I'll just give it to you. You have nothing to merit, nothing to gain. I'll just give it to you because I want you to marry me. Can he do that? Can God do that? Can God do whatever he wants to do? Is there anyone that can gainsay God, argue against and win? Is there anyone that can thwart God's purposes on earth? Nobody. All you have to do is read it. You just read the promise. See if it's good. If there's anything in the Bible that's no good, tell me about it. I'd like to know about that. I know people make up stuff, but you're just making it up. Because I can turn every law into a promise. Ah, Jesus did that one. Jesus did that one. Jesus did that one. Jesus did that one. So that's a trick I have. How did I learn that? Because God is loving. He said that. And he did say that all my goodness shall you see. And so he said, you want to see my goodness? Because I want you, Moses, I want you to, you have my favor. You have my grace toward you. That's Hanan, C-H-A-N-N-A-N. Hanan, say it, Hanan. Hanan, yeah. And then this other word issues from it. It's a fruit of it. Mercy. Chesed, say Chesed. Chesed. You have to be guttural. Chesed. It's fun after a while.
Clear your throat.
It's fun to do that. So, it's not aspirated. Hesed is not hesed. It's now guttural. Chesed. It sounds like German or something like that. Raus mit ya! You know, they have funny ways of saying stuff. But they're more rough. Yeah.
What does Hanan mean again?
Hanan, that's Kara.
What does it mean? Because Hesed means mercy.
That's our oldest daughter's name.
Hesed means mercy. What's Hanan mean?
Hanan is grace. Favor. God just does it. You didn't even ask for it. He just does it. How many have experienced that? God just does stuff for you, and you have no idea how he did it and why he did it, and you didn't even ask for it. But when you do it, you just go like this, thank you. It's like, whoa, I was not expecting that. How many hated Trump before he ran, but how many now are saying, I think he's doing all right. That's funny, because I think he's doing all right. He seems to not be... I don't think he takes a salary. I don't think he gets anything out of it. And so he seems to be on the people's side. He says that. I mean, I don't know if he means it, but he says it. I'm always doing this for the people. The people. They should be the supreme ones, not me. I'm doing this for the people. It sounds like he's a servant. It sounds like he says he's a Christian. I don't know if he is, but if he says he is, he might be. But he says, I'm doing this because I believe that the people are greater than I am. I believe that I'm grateful that they allowed me to make so much money, and I like to pay back some of it by not taking a salary and doing other things for the people. Of the people, for the people, by the people, 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 people. And he's kind of like for that. So, I don't know. Not everybody likes him. In fact, a whole bunch of people don't like him. They don't. Yeah, so it's okay. But we will not know, probably in this world, we won't know whether he was good or bad. But he looks like he's doing well because there's like a 500,000 jobs and the stock market is up and, you know, surmounted now 23-something. What is it? 2,300. It's never been that high. It was before he was president. It wasn't like that. It was doing something, but it was kind of slow. But he dramatically, in a few months, made it stupid high, almost double what it was. That's funny. Because another fellow tried to do it, and it went down. Didn't do so good, right? So, anyway. So is he good or not? I don't know. I'll let God sort that out, because God reads hearts of people. Maybe he's actually a sinister trick. You know, you never know. Because only God knows anything. I don't know anything. I learn everything from God. I don't know how you can learn otherwise. Lux et veritas, light and truth. Lux et veritas. That was written over the seminary at the college I went to on the seminary door. As you entered the door, it said, Lux et veritas. I couldn't read Latin, but I could see it. Lux, lux, whatever that means. Et veritas, truth. But I didn't know that. But I'd ask somebody, what does that mean? What is that? Light and truth. Well, education isn't done that way anymore. It's how do you feel? What do you think? What would you like? Try to be a member of the tribe. So education has lost its primary understanding, which is for the teacher to know something and teach it to the children. It has lost that. It can't do that anymore. So you have to have books today. I don't trust the internet because that can always be manipulated. Did you know that? I'm not saying get rid of it. I'm just simply saying you can't trust it because the government could take it over. So without books, a librarian would be out of a job. So how are you gonna check anything out? There's no way to prove it because there's people, they actually lie in books. So how do you know what books to even read that will tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? I'm going to stick with the Bible. I like the Bible. The Bible answers every question I've ever wanted to know. It answers it all by saying, Jim, you're not God. And it answered that. Am I God? A little g, maybe, but you're under me. Thou shalt have no other gods. You can have all gods you want, but no other gods before me. And so he wants to be top God, 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 with a capital G. So you can have all the other gods you want as long as they obey him. That's a funny way of saying it. That's a funny way of saying it. So in other words, he's not against other gods. He's just against them being above him. So he wants to rule over all the other gods, which are no gods at all. They're just idols. Nothing. Zero. So I like God because God tells me the truth and nothing but the truth.
Amen.
There's nothing in there. That's why I like to read it in the original language, Hebrew, Old Testament, and Greek, New Testament. And I even learned Latin, or learning Latin, because Latin also teaches you stuff in church history. So everything up until, you know, the Middle Ages was over. And now still, people are still learning it in school. But it used to be that you had to have all three of those languages if you wanted to be smart. But now, just your native language plus those three. But now they don't care if you learn anything. Just, how do you feel? How do you feel? Do you like it when he hits you like that? No. So it's not really deep. There's no really transfer of knowledge. There's just nonsense. So teachers have a Dickens in trying to teach today, because it's just... Now, if there were four people in the boat and one of them was your mother and you had to throw one out, which one would you throw out? Okay, what if there were only two and one was your mother? How do you think about that? You see, little kids are confused like that. I thought we were supposed to be learning something. They're learning about how you throw the mother overboard and so on and so forth, because only so many can survive. And you were the God that decided that. That kind of stupid stuff is taught now today. And all teachers are trained to be social change agents. How do you feel about that? What do you think? I mean, that makes it easy, because I know what I feel. I would hate that. I would love that. And so you're making the kids stupid, because they're not able. There's no crisis. They're just able to say, I guess so. You know, they're not learning anything. So a good teacher, and we had two daughters that taught, mom taught also, they actually like to tell the truth. We met a lady this morning that's in a private school. Public school. And she's reading the Bible in public school, which you're not allowed to do, but it's okay because she's teaching it in Latin. And nobody knows what she's doing, so they just leave her alone. She's teaching it in Latin. In principle, you know, in principio, okay? That means in the beginning. Erad was Deum, God. In the beginning was God. So he's teaching that, and you can't stop her because nobody even can read it. If you know what it's saying, but thanks for teaching them Latin. So it's just interesting. So these three things is perfect man. How many of you are at number six? You're already perfect. How many of you qualify? Norman, you do it by faith? By faith, okay. How many now are perfect? By faith? Yeah, everybody can say that. But that's not the way the Bible uses it. The Bible uses it the way I read it this morning, is he's exhorting you, but exhortation is not a command. An exhortation is just be what you are. I'm exhorting you to be what you are. Who are you? Who are you? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Hey, that's a great answer. Why? Because that's true. Did you know that's the truest thing you can ever say to yourself? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's it. There's no theologian in the whole world that can get beyond that. You can't. Clearest thought in the whole world. Jesus loves me, this I know. How do you know it? Well, they didn't ask that question. Just, this I know. I'm persuaded. No, I'm fully persuaded. Now, in my case, I'm fully persuaded, because nobody has to talk me into it. I just read it and I believe it. I believe that we have a God that's good, and he wants me to be good by knowing his son who is good, and borrows me that. He just lends that to me. In other words, he calls me good even though I'm not good. He calls me good even though I still sin. I'm not done with my sin, Clay. Every once in a while, I still do it. Piggy, if you want details. Piggy has details.
I have a big book.
It's all in that book.
Can we see that book? Lee has that same book.
So the only way you can make it, it's the only way you can make it is faith. You just got to say faith. That God, when God hears that, he sees the blood of Jesus and he sees you're basing that on a promise. You're reading the whole word as though it was a promise. Yeah, that's what I've taught you. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Think of one word and I'll change it into a promise. Think of one word, you know, like, be ye perfect as I am perfect. That's a promise. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. In other words, he's not saying, you be. He's actually saying, in Christ in you, the hope of glory, you are that. Amen. So you can be perfect. Amen. But it's by faith. Yep. But when you see him, you don't need faith. You don't need hope. Amen. Faith. Amen. Greatest of these, love. So faith and hope drop away as soon as you see Jesus. As soon as Jesus comes back, second time, it's over. It's over. Deliverance for us and vengeance for the bad guys. They all go in the lake of fire. It's real easy because it's like a two-edged sword is in our hand to divide between soul and spirit. And because anything else in the whole world doesn't divide that way. It divides between soul and body. The Bible doesn't. It says, no. You have to divide between soul and spirit because you can believe this in your spirit, that is, in your heart. Because only Christianity reaches your heart, no other religion. It reaches your body. It reaches your soul. But it never reaches your heart. Why? It's a promise. It's a promise of a good God that can't lie. A good God that can't lie says, the universe will turn out the way I want it to be. And he has never done anything wrong. God has never done anything wrong. Well, how could you catch him? Because whatever he says, you can't really check it out. Because how would you check it out? With your mind? With your will? With your emotions? You can't check it out. So how would you know if God says something that's not true? You can't check it out. So he's leaving it up to you then to make that decision. Do you want God to be mean and devilish, or would you like him to be nice and kind and merciful and great and glorious? You get to make that decision. How many have decided that God is good and kind and merciful and gracious? I mean, wow, that's the kind of God I'd like, not the God that condemns me for not being behaving myself. He doesn't condemn me for that. How many know I don't condemn you either? I can't. Why? Because I don't even have to know you. I just have to know if you're a people. If you're a people, I know you're no good. But if you say you believe by faith, you're a brother or a sister. Pastor, I'm no good, but I believe by faith Jesus is good and he's forgiven me. You're my brother, you're my sister, that's it. I mean, it's not a big deal. You're a people? Yeah, people. People are like that. And you can believe by faith. Did you tell the truth? I really don't know. I really can't check it out. There's no way. I can only judge by behavior because I can't really read your heart. I don't even really need your soul, which is called reins, R-E-I-N-S, in the Bible. Only God knows those two things. So the only thing I know is your behavior. So I can see people are misbehaving. I think today a lot of people are misbehaving. Is that not clear?
Yes.
People are everywhere shooting people and drugs, you know, all kinds of bad stuff. I can see it. It's amazing to me how many bad people there are. Well, maybe they're just a minority, but they pretend like they're majority. As a matter of fact, I believe that. I believe they're just a minority. But the news media always goes and takes their pictures and actually pays them sometimes to do it. They actually print lies. So the news media you can't trust because you don't know which one's going to tell you the truth. That's funny. So all you really have is the Bible. And the Bible tells me that what Martin Luther did 500 years ago in a couple of days, that's it. That's it. Today is what? The 21st? 22nd? Okay. So in less than a week, that will be that day that he posted the 95 theses to try to get the scholars to answer the question. But no scholars read it. Everyone read it, but just everybody read it. They printed it up so that the people could read it. What's it say? And so all of a sudden, it swept the European continent and changed the world forever. Why? Because he went back to the original guy that made the covenant with God, Abraham. He went back to him. Said what Abraham was looking for? A righteous city on earth. Abraham actually believed God when God said to him, leave Ur, leave the city that you're the capital right now, leave Ur of the Chaldees, leave that, and I'll show you. I'll show you a city. So he went to Israel, and it was just a bunch of pile of rocks. And the people there were all idolaters. They were the most evil people outwardly, evil people. And he said, this is the land I promised you. And so he promised it. And they went there, and there was, a famine in the land. These were so wicked people, there was a famine. Because they didn't get out and plant stuff and whatever. I don't know what happened, but they didn't do something right. And so he went on to Egypt, because that was a well-watered valley. So that's where he went. But it was actually there. It was hidden. And so he said, no, it's right here. It's right here. I don't see anything. Well, you'll be the father of faith. Because you don't see anything. Because believing is seeing. Believe what? This is the place. It just looks like a pile of rocks. So what you see is not what you believe. They're two separate things. Now, what he believed is, huh? He said, this is the city I was trying to show you. I don't see anything, bunch of rocks. Yeah, well, this is it. Right here is where Jesus will be crucified 2,000 years from now. He didn't say that. But what he said was, when his boy was about 12-ish, I'd say, he said, God told me that you and I are going to go and worship on Mount Moriah, which is exactly Jerusalem. It's the northern part. It's the north, the sides of the north. It's in a psalm, sides of the north. So this is where I'm to sacrifice you. Oh, he didn't say that. No, of course he didn't say that, because that's his son, Sarah. But what he said was, my son, God himself, would provide for himself. That was, how did he even come up with that? Because he didn't want to tell him what he saw. He told him what he believed. Right. What he believed is spelled out in the New Testament. What he believed is, even if I kill my son to make a sacrifice for God to know I have faith, even if I do that, he'll rise him up again. Because the Messiah is going to be born through that son. There's a promise given to me, and I know, okay, well, I'll kill him, but then he'll just rise up again sooner or later. Well, God didn't do it that way. God said, no. If you're going to be the father of faith, I have to now do it this way. And so he just made up something to kind of cover himself, because otherwise, if he had gone home, his wife would have killed him. You know that. It's like, you ain't coming home here. You did what? You know, no, they can't even discuss that. So he would have lost everything. But so he said to him, God himself, but he was prophesying. He didn't know he was prophesying. He just said what he said. So God himself will provide for himself a lamb, the lamb, for a burnt offering. Wow, that's the basis of our whole faith. That's what Luther discovered. God is not an angry judge. He is a loving father. He's never been an angry judge. He'll never be an angry judge. He's always been a loving father. It's just people hate me without a cause. They hate me. That's why they come up with Buddhism and Hinduism and all those religions of the world that are nonsense. They make no sense at all. I'm not knocking them. I'm just simply saying they're just people made up religions. They're idols. They're nothing. There's nothing to them. So ours is the only true religion. Why is it true? It's the only one built on a promise. Not just human promises. God's himself promising. So that's what Luther discovered, is God is not an angry judge. He is a loving father forever and ever. So I can read it leniently. In other words, the judge doesn't have to throw the whole book at you. He doesn't have to give you the full extent of the law. He doesn't have to give you that. He could be lenient and say, I'm going to let you off because it's your first time. That's how our laws were shaped years and years and eons ago. Even Cicero knew that. Even people from the past have known that, that there's two ways to do it as a judge. You can either read it the harsh way or the lenient way. And they decided to do what is called in equity. That means equal to the reason for God creating you in the first place. Maybe God would be equal to what he originally created you to do, be a steward of him. So instead of being an owner, which you have a stake in it, you have an interest in it, be a steward. Do it for somebody else. Do it as part of the public trust, as part of the natural trust, if it's influenced by the spiritual trust. So what I just did is defined what kind of government we have right here in Texas. I just defined Texas for you. Texas believes that God actually was good, and that's why Santa Anna fought us. And he said, I've discovered the secret to the Americans, and this is how I'm going to destroy them. It's going to be a war of extermination. Not one child, not one mother, even pregnant, I will cut them open and destroy anybody American, not just soldiers, anybody. And they killed everybody in the Battle of the Alamo because he had found a flag on the day before. And he sent this flag to someone and said, look, look what they've written. Three words. God and liberty. Ah, the very thing he didn't believe in. He believed that if he was going to be the dictator of Mexico, he should have everybody obey him. No liberty. No liberty. A tyrant. In fact, he called him the Napoleon of the West. Isn't that amazing? But the Protestants believed that God was good. And they believed that God was not an angry judge, but a loving father. And that everything that God did was all for our benefit, all for our advantage, all for our profit. And it would affect not only your faith with God, but it would affect economics, politics, and society itself. Affect everything. It would make life worth living. So that's what we created right here in Texas. And so since he figured it out, Houston also figured it out. Hey, this guy has now read our flag, God and liberty. He doesn't want to link the two together. God is against liberty. He's for forcing people to behave. Like in the Jewish community, they just tell everybody, you're going to pay this much, you're going to pay this. They just force people. And the same in the Catholic. They just have pledges and so on and so forth. You're worth $100,000, you pay 10% or whatever. They just make it up. So everyone is under force, power. Because you can't just ask you to voluntarily do good because you want to do bad, because you're bad. Everybody has a bad side to them. It's like both sides. But anyway, you have a bad side to you. Take me this way. Don't take me this way. But actually, you don't have a bad side. You're just bad. Everybody's bad. Everybody's bad. Latrice, you're bad. You're bad. You're very bad. Everybody knows Latrice is bad. No, you don't. You don't know that. But I know it. I know it because I'm a pastor. So, you know what? God doesn't see bad people. All he sees is his beloved. Because of the blood of Jesus, that's equity. Equal to what he originally created you to be. Do you think he brought somebody into the world so that you'd destroy him? No. You brought somebody into the world so you could bless him. That's like God. So even though even evil people can do good things, hypocritically, but even evil people can do that. But that'd be you at your best state. But God wants it to be more firm than that. So he says, no, I'll do it myself. I'll provide everything. So the reason that Houston won was because miracles happened. First of all, it only lasted 18 minutes 2 weeks later after the Alamo. 2 weeks later, 18 minutes, the battle. The other guy, that is Santa Anna, he had 2,000 troops. But he had 5,000 coming to join him, so he'd had 7,000 or 8,000. But it didn't make it because it was over within 18 minutes. Because now less than 1,000, less than 1,000, he didn't have many people. He won in 18 minutes, and this is what they said. Remember the Alamo. In other words, remember how you exterminated every American. Don't forget that. And by doing that, you weakened their response. And I can't tell you the truth. But Santa Anna was being naughty. Instead of taking a siesta that day, he did something else. And they caught him. And he tried to escape, but he was easy to find. Because all he had to do is let him walk around and people said, oh, because they knew who it was. There's where their commander. So they gave him all away. So that's, oh, you're the commander. Because everybody respected him. Oh, it's him. So the people, all the people that were going to defend him, they lost that day. Thousands of people. Not only did they kill right away, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. What did we lose? Very few. Very few in that battle. So now he had to surrender and give up God and liberty idea. No, God is always for liberty. God wants you to be free. And he sent Jesus to make you free. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Did the Son make you free? Amen. Yes, it says so in the Bible. We always go by the Bible. That's our authority. Our authority is those promises are written down in the Bible, and they're all promises. So the promise is you can have freedom. In Christ Jesus, you're free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. So here the Son has set me free. Yahoo! So you can smile in this world. Nasty world, but you can smile in this world. So no matter what the bad guys do, they're always, as, you know, God trumps them. Is he not allowed to trump people? Yeah, if he wants to. He can pull out an ace up his sleeve and trump you. And so hasn't God provided the church in this man Trump? Regardless of what he's telling the truth or not, I don't really care. All I know is it has nothing to do with him. It has to do with God's loving Father. And he wants to have some more time for his people so he can get rid of more sins in Jackie. And more sins. More sins, more sins, more sins, more sins, more sins. He wants to get rid of all your sins. Why? Well, because he knows you're not ready to take home right now. So since you're not ready, because there might be one in here that's sinning more than the others, you might be holding things up. Can you think of who it is? There just could be one. Maybe there's two. There could be two here that are really gumming things up. You know, they're just naughty. They're hypocrites. They're liars. And they're just faking. Is there anybody here that doesn't love Jesus with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength by faith? And your neighbor as yourself by faith? You didn't do it. He did it for you so that you could utilize that. That's his love, that he did everything for you and there's nothing more that he needs to do. Because if he did everything for you, everything that he did was so that you would profit. Not only in the world to come, you could profit right now. You can actually profit. If you're sick, like I am, I'm crippled today. So what? It doesn't matter. Because can't God do whatever he wants to do? Is he not able to? Is God not able to? Yeah, he's able to. Why? Because God loves you. That's why. Personal. It's personal. It's personal. Individual. Remember Abraham was an individual? Before he even had a child. Or after he had Ishmael. You know, before Sarah had a child. When she was 90. 9 months earlier, God made a promise to her. Yeah, you will have a child. And by the way, I know his name now. Yitzhak. He laughs. You better name him that because you're laughing. Well, I wasn't really laughing. Yes, you were. You were really laughing. Because you thought, can God spread a table in the wilderness for his people? Can God do things that can't be done? Is he able? Is he able? Can God do anything for you? The best, this is not me, this is the Bible. The best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best. You haven't even seen the best. You haven't been to heaven. You haven't ridden on a cloud lately, have you? No. So nobody's ridden on a cloud. So the best has been saved to the last. Did you know that there's vineyards in the heavens? There's vineyards up there. They're spiritual vineyards, but they're vineyards. You remember just Jesus touched the water, and clouds are made out of water. So they just touched the water and they became wine. So there's vineyards, and wine is so good that it surpasses every other wine you've ever tasted. So all the wine, you know, aficionados, you know, all those that do that, they'll, wow, this is really good. You should have served vinegar by now because everyone's plowed out of their minds, you know, but since you did this. Did you know that there's no difference when you're an alcoholic whether you're drinking, you know, Listerine or whatever. I mean, you just, after you've plowed out, you can't tell the difference. Yeah, this is good too, and this is good too. I just drink anything that has any alcohol content at all. Give me some more. Because they're not thinking. Well, you'll be like that in the heavens. You won't even know because you'll stir the best wine first. And then you won't need any more. So good. What if God has saved the best to the last? What if you haven't seen the best yet? What if his promises are much more than just Isaac being born or God exodusing his people or? What if he actually, he's two things in mind. Religious liberty on earth, just the thing Santa Anna didn't want, but he lost. And then second of all, just government. Religious liberty always is the foundation, the indispensable foundation for just government. If you don't have religious liberty, you can't have just government. If you have religious liberty, you'll always get just government. Did you just hear what I said? Those are two things that he wants on earth before he comes back. Have we seen it yet? Well, America started out that way, but it ended in a few weeks. It ended almost immediately. They wanted to go back beyond Augustus Caesar. Augustus Caesar, do you know who he is? He's the first emperor. It used to be a republic. It was a republic of laws. It had laws, 12 laws. And it was a republic of laws. But the Americans hated Julius Caesar and his nephew, Augustus Caesar. The Americans. Oh, all Americans. All of them. They hated him because he was a tyrant. He introduced an empire. And Britain was doing the same thing, was introducing Americans to the old constitution we had, the unwritten constitution, lex non scripta. That's over. Now we're going to build an empire. And Americans, you're going to pay. It doesn't sound good to the Americans. I don't like that idea. You're going to build an empire. You're going to build the British Empire. I don't think so. We're all British, you know. And we're free Englishmen. And we don't want this slaving us thing. So we're against you. Same thing Houston did. Same thing. Exactly the same thing. God and liberty go together. We're free, and we're going to stay free. You're going to attack us. We don't care who you are. We're going to defend ourselves, and God will be with us. That's written. It's all written. That the Mexican government denies to us the right to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. Paragraph 12, 1836, March 2nd. There you go. So now you see, everything that's going on in the world today, it might be that Texas will be drawing the line in the sand and say, no more, we're done with this. It could be. What if Texans had that gumption, guts, to say, you know, down here we believe in the Bible. We believe the Bible is true. So fool you on the rest of America. Follow our lead. Or get on the other side of the line. What if, you know, New York and California all joined us? Well, that would be the end of the Democratic Party. So they're not going to do it. They're thinking this time we'll elect our own president. They've already got somebody in mind. But this time we'll take it all back. And this time we'll get Texas too. We'll have a billionaire of our own. What if they found a billionaire that had more billions than Trump? That would be cool. Maybe Soros is, you know, running out of, you know, money. You know, he tried to affect elections here, and he did it in Houston. He eliminated all the judges, just like he did in Dallas. But it wasn't him doing it in Dallas, it was somebody else. But he had this idea, you know, we'll just take over Texas, bribe them. What if it isn't a matter of money? What if there's a God? What if there's a God, and what if he likes us? What if we're pathetic people, but God likes us? Did you know that God reigns on the just and the unjust? You know, we might be even unjust. He still might like everybody, even the Democrats. We could actually pray for the Democrats. Maybe they don't have the power they think they have. Fortunes can be made overnight, and they can also be lost overnight. Amen. What if there's a God and he likes you? Then you could be happy. Did you know you could smile? You can smile. You don't have to be grumpy and gripey, bitter, poor, blind, naked. You actually can be happy down here on earth. What if God wanted you to be happy on earth and then get heaven too? Get both. Get it now by faith and get it later by sight. What if God wanted you to see the kingdom of God, where you actually saw the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as well as that Jesus was doing everything? Tommy, let's close in prayer.
Get a hold of this truth, Lord, that we're not about our goodness and our strength and our power, but it's you working in us and through us and for us, Lord. Help us to share this message with others, Lord. It's not an easy message, but help us to do it in a way that they can understand that they don't have to do it. It was already done for each one of us before the foundation of